Welcome to the Scott Townsend Show, brought to you by Dietzel Man Productions.
Hey, this is Scott Townsend. Welcome back to the Scott Townsend Show. And today I have with me Executive Director of the Bartlesville Convention and Visitors Bureau, Maria Swindell Gus. Maria, how's it going?
It's going great. You know, we have officially changed our name to Visit Bartlesville.
Oh, that's right.
We used to be the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and that is part of what we do. But we wanted an action statement. You know, those are the way to go. So we want you to visit Bartlesville. But things are going great. Hold on, I need a drink. I'm better now.
All right. Thanks for that. Yeah. And that wasn't even planned. No.
Yeah. No, things are good. It's very good here in Bartlesville. It's about mid-October of 2021 right now. And things are going really well. It feels like we were a little bit in a holding pattern as far as very actively inviting guests to Bartlesville over the last 8 months because many of our hotel rooms were full. So that was, it was difficult to invite people to stay here when I knew there were going to be some challenges sometimes getting a room. But now that we are in a different phase of the year and we have hotel rooms available and things with COVID-19 are starting to wane a bit, people are meeting in person again and doing events again. And so it feels like October has been a whirlwind. It's really, really busy here at Visit Bartlesville.
Cool. So I guess that's a good segue into why the hotels were so full. And the reason for that is, I'll let you go into that. But today I wanted to visit with you about, because of your experience and the notoriety that this Northeast Oklahoma has received over the last, well, actually 10 years, really, but especially this last 6 months, maybe.
Yeah.
Different film productions going on here in Northeast Oklahoma, way out here in the middle of nowhere, you know, we're flyover country. But it seems as though people are discovering what there is to offer out here. And so a lot of states have started programs, rebates, tax incentives to come into their area and shoot movies, hopefully attract people to shoot. Oklahoma's done the same thing. Oklahoma's offered tripled their cash rebate this last year. You know, we had Matt Damon doing in Stillwater for a little bit, but and then I'll let you go into all that. But is it, number one, does the math work out if someone wants to come in and shoot a movie in your area, in your state, is that it sounds cool. Is it worth it?
Well, my short answer to that is yes, it's 100% worth it. However, it is a whole lot of work. And, you know, our story with the film industry is, unique. I don't know that I could have planned it any better, but when we started really almost 12 years ago. So my 13-year anniversary in this position is next month. I'll have been here 13 years.
Congratulations.
And thank you. Can't believe it. I bet I love it. I'm so happy. 13 years have flown by. But our first film experience was an independent film by a very well-respected filmmaker who makes films that are often considered to be a little bit artsy or art house-ish. Avant-garde, sometimes, yeah, for sure. Very ethereal, It's his stories are not often linear, and his name is Terrence Malick. And Mr. Malick spent much of his youth in Oklahoma. His parents lived here until they passed away relatively recently, within the last 10 years. And he had always wanted to make a film in Bartlesville. And so, and apparently he had wanted to do that for some time. But with this particular film, and with his particular style, it made it a really wonderful way to cut your teeth on bringing a film into your community. And so while he was here, his style, and I don't know that this is his style with every film that he has done, but he would provide an outline of the day of what they were trying to cover in the scenes. And then he would shoot a great deal of footage in that day. And I believe, this is my opinion, as my experience goes, and then as also a lover of film, but the way I describe it is he casts a really wide net. You know, he films a great deal of material, and then he sort of like carves it and whittles it down into what he wants it to look like. So I can't remember how many days they were shooting when they were here. They were basically here from about, crew started coming like in August, and then they left around November, early December. And they shot mostly from September till November. And that experience of extras casting, like they were casting extras every day. They would pull in groups. They would also sometimes film during events that were already happening. So there was this kind of organic way to how he makes a film that created a really good environment for learning how to accommodate a film. Now, saying all that, that was worth it on many levels. Of course, they were here spending money. They weren't staying in a hotel. Not many of them, a few did. But at that time when they made that film, we had just sold, or ConocoPhillips had just sold a hotel property. They decided they didn't want to be in the hotel business anymore. So there was an old hotel in this community called the Hotel Phillips, and it was vacant as they were waiting to sell it. And so it was really this perfect opportunity for a film to take residence in this 9-story hotel property. And they were able to use that as a place for people to stay, office space, dining, costumes. You know, they were able to use that as a big part of their production office. And so with that, and with the way that he was calling, you know, really using the community was almost a character for this particular film. My office, who serves as the liaison between the film industry and the community, was really sort of put to the paces, because there were always some sort of weird request or phone call, or, hey, we need to get into this particular building, or, hey, we need to find a group of, you know, 25 school children, and where there were all these sort of requests coming. So because of that, it really set this office up to become a resource coordinator when films are in town. And when they would call, it was oftentimes sort of a quick turnaround. And so, of course, I was thrilled that we had a film in our community. There was certainly a large economic impact piece to that, not to mention the attention that you can get from having a film in your community. And, you know, you never know what they're going to do when they hit the talk show circuit or how they're going to talk about you. So there was all sorts of potential positive, you know, publicity that was going to come from this. Yeah. So, I mean, I was Johnny on the spot. And when they asked for a purple chair, they didn't just want a purple chair. They wanted 10 purple chairs so that they could pick which purple chair. And then I had to call all, you know, I use that as my example. They never wanted a purple chair, but you know, then I would call on all these resources to help them get what they needed. And so I say all that, I kind of went into that long story because that was how I got introduced to the film industry. And that sort of has driven how I have responded to any film coming into the community. We've had four major full-length films, but we've had several smaller films that maybe shoot for a week or a day, or you know, just peripheral shots that they do for the film they've done in our area. But I always, always try to meet their needs. And basically I am the resource person, you know, that they need to find a, in the last film, they needed a barber, but it needed to be a certain kind of barber and they had to have a certain look and it had to actually be a barber because the barber was going to be actually cutting someone's hair in the scene. So they needed to have that skill. And so I've just sort of been the local point of contact to help them. You know, I always say, if I don't know the guy, then I know the guy that knows the guy. So all of that to say is if you want a film to come into your community, I think what I've learned, and especially from Mr. Malik and the way that he made To the Wonder in this community, is that you should be ready to provide resources. You should be ready to make connections with the understanding that there's going to be times where it's going to be challenging, or they might call you early in the morning, or they might call you late at night, or they may need a quick turnaround time. But understanding that that effort that you put in will then result in a good experience for that particular film company. And Hollywood is really, it's a small world, and people talk to each other. And they want to know what kind of experience a production crew had when they were in your community. And so if the experience that you're giving is one of customer service and hospitality, then that is the reputation that you're going to get. I'm not doing anything that's rocket science, truly. What I'm doing is I'm trying to accommodate a visitor. And, you know, our very first film, we had a locations manager, John Patterson. Hi, John Patterson, if you ever hear this or see this. And I learned so much from John, and I've carried this throughout all of these films. But, you know, when you are a tourism entity, a destination marketing organization, such as Visit Bartlesville, you often calculate that economic impact of having a conference or convention in your community. And when you have a conference, like you have a conference coming next weekend that has about 80 people, they're going to be here for 2 to 3 nights. I mean, it's a nice amount of money that they're spending in your community. Maybe I'm going off my head, but you know, maybe they're going to spend somewhere counting food and all of that, you know, $50,000, $60,000 in visitor spending because they have all of these gas and lodging and extra things that they have to purchase. So whatever that economic impact is of a conference or convention for 3 days, when you have a film in your community, you're multiplying that economic impact by 20, 30, 60, or in the case of the last film that we had here, 99 days of shooting. So the super long answer to your question is it's 100% worth it. But you have a lot of things you have to factor and consider as you move forward. And I think it's important to designate a person or an office or a community, a leader group that can help sort of connect them to the resources that they need relatively quickly. You know, that's the thing too. My job is often connecting resources for group tour leaders or leisure travelers or whatever. So it sort of seamlessly kind of flows into what I'm already doing with my position. So it's pretty easy. I have the contacts. I'm able to reach out to people and make those connections quickly. But it's a lot of work, but it's super fun. It's just a really, really neat experience.
So you're on the side of it's worth it. So we've answered that question.
Yeah. We got that. Yeah.
So it's worth it. Now, for those, next question, for those that are listening or watching and are not in the tourism business, how do you measure an economic impact? How do you measure economic impact to your area?
Yeah. So there are a lot of industry standards in measuring economic impact. And for a long time, and really, I think it was most prevalent prior to me taking on this position, and it's still prevalent, people track economic impact by, you know, there's a multiplier for every dollar that is spent in a community, you know, it creates that ripple effect that goes out. And we do track that. We track that economic impact number. But for this office and for many of my colleagues in Oklahoma, what's even more important is tracking visitor spending. That's the real money, the dollars that are coming in community. And then can also track the lodging tax collected based on those and your sales tax collected. And the way we do that is we use the state of Oklahoma and various professional organizations that calculate what the estimated visitor spend is when they come into our community.
Based on how many people are showing up.
Right. You have 100 people. We know that estimated visitor spend, $50 a day, estimated visitor spend. Of course, that's an average and it sort of comes out. And it also depends on what part of the state you're in. An estimated visitor spend in Oklahoma City or Tulsa certainly will be more than it is in smaller communities like us, Enid, Muskogee, those kinds of places. But what they do, there's two things that they do. They track that estimated, or they calculate with many formulas through the destination marketing world, what that estimated visitor spend will be. And then the other thing that the state of Oklahoma does is they pay a fantastic organization, a very well-respected industry leader in actually tracking the spending that is coming from out of the state. And, you know, I'm sure it's a proprietary formula. I can't give you all the ins and outs of it, but what they do is they are looking at, you know, airplane ticket sales and credit card sales. And, you know, they
bus
know.
Tours maybe.
Yeah. I mean, they have aggregate information where, you know, you look at the restaurant down the street and they know that maybe 60 to 70% of the sales are coming from within a certain area code, but many of those sales, let's say 30, 40% are coming from out of the state. So they can track what that spending is. So with a combination of that information and what the state of Oklahoma determines is the average daily spend for a visitor in Oklahoma, that's how we come up with that economic impact. So what we do is let's say, for example, we have an event where we are going to have 80 people and they're spending the night for 3 nights. And we know that their average daily spend is going to be whatever it is, $50 a day, let's say. And then we're able to calculate what sales tax would be then and collected on that estimated daily
spend.
And then that is with those numbers, we're able to show, you know, for my particular organization, we have to request our budget from the Bartlesville Development Authority on an annual basis, to which the Bartlesville Development Authority then requests a budget amount from the city council from Bartlesville. That's how our municipality handles that. And so once you come up with those formulas and figures, we're able to give the city council, the BDA, a snapshot of what that estimated visitor spend is and what that fiscal impact is. The fiscal impact is the sales tax and the lodging tax collected. The economic impact is that sort of ripple effect. It's that larger number. But what we try to do in this office is track both of those, that we're also being realistic. And the way I know it works is we also collect lodging tax from our hotel properties, and the city of Bartlesville shares that report with me. And when I see the number, I can't tell you what it is. Let's say it's $600,000 that we collected in lodging tax in a given year. I know that the factor and the numbers that we track are correct because we're just doing a snapshot, and that number is always less than what the total lodging tax numbers are collected. So we're able to show a return on investment. We show the city council or the Bartlesville Development Authority, you know, here's a list of, 100 different events that we supported or provided in-kind donations or perhaps a grant for a larger event. And we know that this was what the fiscal impact was of these events. And so you know that you, City of Bartlesville, are getting a good return on your investment. And we also know that what we collected in lodging tax was far more than that. So we know that we're not touching every visitor. No visitors center or destination marketing organization can. Certainly there's leisure travelers that come in, they book the room, and I never see them. There's right. Sometimes even group tours that come and I don't see them. But when I can track the ones that we are helping and we're connecting with, we're making sure that they're getting resource information into sales, we can then show the city that what we're doing, the branding and the marketing and the public relations that we're doing, is working.
How do you get ready? If a scout comes to your area and says, you know, we're just kind of looking around, poking around this area, you know, whether you're in Stillwater, you know, Matt Damon, they shot the movie Stillwater in Stillwater, Reservation Dogs down in, what was that, Oklahoma City or something?
They did it at Okmulgee, a little bit in Tulsa, yeah. But Okmulgee was the main place.
Cool. So what would you suggest? How do you get prepared before a scout shows up?
Man, the first thing you should do is get pictures of locations. That is what you should be doing right now. If your state has a film rebate, because what's happening right now with the film rebates is many of the states are, you know, there, it became, it, you know, it all started as this compete with Canada Act, because there are people, there were film productions that were going to Canada to make films because it was a little bit more affordable. And, you know, they were sort of had maybe some more privacy, or, you know, it was easier to navigate. I'm not sure all of the benefits, but the number one was that there was a rebate, you know, Canada was offering a rebate. And so that's when you started to see all of these states begin to get more Georgia. Involved with the film industry. Obviously, yes, Georgia. You see that Georgia peach on so many films that are made. Of course, New Mexico with Breaking Bad. That was huge for Albuquerque. Louisiana, there were a lot of films that were, and TV shows that were, True Blood was filmed in Louisiana. And of course, those are the ones that people may know or have seen, but there were many, many others. And infrastructure begins to build. And then that's how these states begin to attract people. And then from that point, you start talking about what film rebate is, and they're looking for a good film rebate. They want to be able to keep their costs down. But all that being said, especially if you have a film office in your state, what you should be doing is finding out how they are collecting and how you can submit locations. And even if there isn't a film office, maybe your state does not have that. Maybe your state isn't at that place, but perhaps you have a location that's just so unique that, you know, people may be interested in some point in coming. Collect those locations. And when I say that, it's not the pretty pictures. I mean, you want the pretty pictures too. You want to see some beautiful interiors. If you have some sort of old movie theater or church and it's historic, you know, take those pictures. But it's also sometimes the inside of a warehouse. It might be, you know,
an alley,
right. You know, To the Wonder, they shot a scene at a rock quarry. Anything that you can think of where you know that you have a relationship or a party that would be willing to use their location as a set, take those pictures, go out there and then update them. You know, I have a lot of pictures right now on file with the state film office, but I was talking to them yesterday and we know that some of those pictures are old. We know we need to update them. We know that we have some new locations here. For example, we have right now where we are in Bartlesville, where my office is in the Bartlesville Community Center, which is a beautiful building that was designed by William Wesley Peters, who was at one time the director of Taliesin West and a protege of Frank Lloyd Wright. And our building is just across the way from the Price Tower, which was Frank Lloyd Wright's only fully realized skyscraper. And in between that, new, brand spanking new, just a little over a year old, is a place called Tower Center at Unity Square. And it's an urban green space, but it's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And there are some unique features to it, especially our native colors sculpture that's there. So take those pictures, make a collection, and don't think something's boring or you know, that building's ugly and dilapidated and nobody would want to use it. You never know. I don't love horror films. I wish I did, but I don't. But horror films are a big business and there are people that will want to make a horror film and maybe they want to take, you know, do some shots in your abandoned hospital that's downtown.
Right.
Side note, I have one available. So, you know, there's always something that will make a scene work, that you may have that people don't know. And, you know, the other piece to that is film tourism, which we haven't even talked about that, but I met with some people recently that work in film tourism and, we were just talking about some ideas and what does that look like and how do we go moving forward? But I was sort of discounting one of the films that, like, I was like, well, you know, they only shot like one scene here, you know, nobody's going to want to come. And she goes, oh, no. Do you remember the scene from Castaway when Tom Hanks is standing at that crossroads? And, you know, he's delivered package and spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Castaway, but you should by now, it's
like right.
Probably
you're pretty safe,
but yeah. Right. She said people, because the community where that was shot identifies it as the scene from Castaway where Tom Hanks is standing at this crossroads. There are people that go there and they want to get their picture taken and they want to say, oh, this is that place from the movie. You know, we're not all going to be Field of Dreams. We're not all going to have that.
Right. Right.
People want to come and see the place where they built that baseball stadium in the middle of the cornfield. But, you know, as you know, Scott Townsend, it is all about the marketing and the branding and telling people what you have and what's available. So, anyway, that's kind of, where that all led, that question got me.
Would you recommend hiring someone to take the pictures or just you yourself going out and just snapping some
yes. shots? Yes and yes.
Oh, okay.
Early on when we, I think it may have been after To the Wonder or it may have been before, but I knew that I needed more pictures. And I actually had an intern, great intern job. And I said, here's a camera and please just go take a whole bunch of pictures. Don't, you know, even we went out to one of the ranches that has been used for almost every film that we've had here, the big films. I said, I know that the ranch land will look like several pictures of the same thing, but please go take those pictures. You know, we have parts of Oklahoma that just look like nothing else in the world. When they came to scout for August Osage County, you know, they had already been looking at another state. I won't say which state, but it's one of the ones that's pretty popular, and they have a great incentive, and you know, a lot of productions have been made there. Our film office at the time, they negotiated and figured out a way to get the production designer and the director and one of the producers into a helicopter so that they could show them what it looks like in Osage County. And that was the thing. That's what did it. You fly over Osage County and you're like, oh, well, there's no place else that looks, we can't make insert state here look like this. There's just no way. Mm-hmm. And so
where the wind comes sweeping down the plain,
right? Those rolling hills, you gotta, it rolling where the rolling hills of Osage County meet up with green country, you know, it's unique. And so taking pictures is that first step. So that's the thing that you can do. Take lots of pictures of all kinds of things, the inside, the outside, you know, what's ugly, what's beautiful, any of those things. Yeah. That's how anybody can get started.
So, okay, I got these pictures. I'm a tourism person, and I'm in Wisconsin. I'm listening to this. Okay, so you sold me. I've got my pictures. Now, what do I do with these pictures?
Yeah. Well, the number one thing is to make sure that you have, if you have an Oklahoma or a film and music office in your state, you want to connect with them. You want to make sure. Now, there are other ways if your state does not have a film office. There are locations, databases that exist out there. And I'm not as familiar with those simply because the state of Oklahoma has done such a good job of providing that vehicle for us. But there are locations, databases. There are ways to submit those locations to the right people to make sure that they see them. There may be some other resources too that you can look into. You know, I never knew until To the Wonder that there was a position on the crew called a locations manager. And they're my favorite. Okay, I shouldn't say that. They are one of my favorite crew members. They're typically the first point of contact. They're the first, you know, they may have some location scouts that come out and look, but then there will be a location manager that manages all of the locations throughout the production. And they're the ones that really, they're part of their job is to make sure that they leave this place exactly like they found it. If they are coming to rent your office building for a shoot or for office space, you know, their goal is to make sure that you know that it's been taken care of and that it will look, because nobody wants to leave a bad taste in anyone's mouth, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, this really is a small industry and people talk to each other. And so if you know, you rent one of your office spaces and they have a bad experience, the owner has a bad experience, you're going to be very reluctant to rent that place again. And so I think it really is the motivation of these locations managers to be sure that they leave a place like they found it, they leave it in good condition. So that leads me to another resource that you may want to investigate is finding a location manager or contacting the there is something called LMGI, which is the Location Managers Guild International. And that is a professional organization of these locations managers. And that's what they do is, you know, communicate sort of, they are the liaison between the community or the locations and the production. And so I would start researching, finding out what you can, maybe reaching out to one of those professional organizations like LMGI, or just, you know, sort of perusing their website to see what it is that they do, familiarizing yourself with the industry and how it works, so that when they do come calling, when you do get a scout, you're prepared, you know what to expect, and you know what kind of information to give them. We have a Oklahoma Film and Music Office, but we also have the Cherokee Nation Film Office. And yeah. Bartlesville, where we are, is a part of the Cherokee Nation. And so you want to make sure that you're maximizing all the resources that you have. We have several of our locations on, you know, uploaded on the database for the state of Oklahoma, but we've also been working with the Cherokee Nation to make sure that we have those locations on their database. Just so you're making sure that you've covered all of that groundwork and you've got your locations out there as much as possible. And researching, you know, one of the things that I did when To the Wonder came was pay for a membership to IMDb Pro, which is the Internet Movie Database. Mm-hmm. And I felt a little guilty about it. Like, oh, I don't know if I should be spending this. Is it? That has been such a tremendous resource for me.
Why because is that?
For those of you that only look at IMDb, like, cause you want to see who was that guy? I saw him in that one movie and all that. When you have IMDb Pro, you're getting access to a lot more information. So I may be able to find out who the producer is, or I might be able to find out what their production timeline may be. There is a news feature that's a part of IMDb Pro. And so sometimes you get some, you know, notifications about certain projects and where they're progressing and how they're working. It's just, you know, knowledge is power. And I can't always give you a very specific example of how that resource has helped me, but it has helped me for every single production that we've had. You know, when John Wells, who was the director of August Osage County, came to scout this area, because of IMDb Pro, I was able to sort of do a little bit of research on what he'd worked on so far, what he'd been involved with. And it helped me as a professional to have conversations with him. But I also was able to say, hey, you just did The Company Men with Ben Affleck. You know, Ben was just here for To the Wonder. He goes, oh, he told me about that. He said he had a wonderful time in Bartlesville, that Bartlesville was a great place. And so my joke is like, I owe Ben Affleck a muffin basket. If you're out there, Ben, listening to this, as I'm sure he is.
I'm sure he is.
Contact my office because we want to take care of you. But it was, it's a great way to connect the dots. And anytime you can connect the dots and sort of have more information, it helps prepare you for whatever meeting you're going to go into, whoever you're meeting with. The locations manager that was on this last production, he was actually at the time when he's no longer, but he was the president of the Locations Managers Guild International. And so that was great information to have. And then to be able to look at his resume and what projects he's worked on. I mean, it was very, very significant. Mike Fantasia, shout out to Mike. He's so, he was great to work with. Hi, Mike. So yeah, that's how IMDb Pro has worked for me. It's just been a way for me to have really as much information and be a better resource provider to any of the crew that are coming in and looking at your area.
So, all right. So I got my photos. I've uploaded them or I've put them on my own website. I got IMDb Pro. Got my research there. Sounds like research is a big deal here. Is there anything else that I can do to, if a scout comes by my state, by my city, and says, I'm looking around, is anything else you recommend?
Absolutely. I think that one of the things that works great for me is it's about relationship building. And I want to know the people at the city that will be able to help us make this happen. I want to have a good relationship with the people at the city. I want to make sure that I know who the manager of the airport is, and I know who owns the large ranch west of town that has become such a great location for us. It's building positive relationships and being out in the community and making sure that when you are called upon to get something done, that you know the right person to call. You know, when the first film came, when To the Wonder came, there was a lot of concern about privacy, in part because Mr. Malik is very private. And then also because we had Ben Affleck, and at the time he was married to Jennifer Garner. They had very young children. Paparazzi was certainly a concern. And so because I had a really great relationship, have a great relationship with our municipality and the city planner and the city manager at the time, we were able to develop a film permit and put some things in place with the police department, all of those people, so that nobody was like caught off guard. So, you know, make sure you have strong connections and relationships within your community with everybody, not just the movers and the shakers, but the people that are really most important, the critical people, are the guys that work in the parks department, or, you know, the police chief, the people that you can't, you know, a fire captain, the people that are, you know, boots on the ground, is something that, you know, it's one of those phrases that people like to say, but it's really important to be able to know, the people that are the most connected with resources in your community. So when you have to call upon them, it's not like, hi, I've never met you or talked to you before, but I need this really big favor. So can you make it happen?
Right. Dig your well before you're thirsty.
Yeah. You really, really should build those relationships. And I think that's been a huge benefit for us, because I'm all about customer service. And I want to make sure, and customer service, as you know, Scott Townsend, probably learned part of this from you, is that it's not just about serving the customer, but it's about the business to business. It's mm-hmm. about the relationships you have. And so customer service is not just about that customer that walks through your door, but it's about the partners that you have in the community and how you strengthen those relationships so that you're all able to be, you know, a united front when things come together. It's funny, you know, we had the entire film was shot here, but it was a documentary. It was called Calls to Okies, and your class of 81, right? Class of 82. Your class of 82 people need to watch this because there's going to be familiar faces. But there was a guy that did a lot of prank phone calling back in the early 80s.
Do I know who this is? Roy?
Yeah. Park Grubbs. The Park Grubbs story.
Okay.
Well, there was also someone that was really involved that knew Park Grubbs named Kenwick Cook. You probably know Kenwick or have seen him around, but it was just lots of prank phone calls. And it was called Calls to Okies, the Park Grubbs story. And what was so fascinating about the story was that this guy would record his prank phone calls, and then they would get dubbed and dubbed and dubbed and passed out. And it just sort of like became this sort of like cult following of Park Grubbs. But I digress again. But the point was, they came into town. It was a really fantastic documentary filmmaker named Bradley Beasley. Hi, Bradley. He's from Oklahoma too. wonderful. He made Sweethearts of the Prison Rodeo. He did a documentary on noodling, you know, catfish noodling.
Right. I mean,
he's just this wonderful, fun, quirky storyteller. And they started calling people that had been the victims of these prank phone calls back in the 80s because they wanted to film them for the documentary. And so what was great was that we had in this office established enough of a reputation that we were sort of that go-between between the film industry and the community, that one of the ladies that had been called, she got a call and it sounded almost, she wasn't sure. And she's like, "Hey, there's a guy that wants to come to my house and meet with me. And I just wanted to make sure that this was legit before I let this stranger in my house." So our office was able to tell her, "No, this is fine. It's totally legitimate." She's very sweet. Her name's Mary Helen Buttman. And that may or may not have been why she was the victim of some of those prank phone calls. But she was such a good sport. She was she's awesome. Good,
cool
lady. But the point is, you want to make sure your community knows that you, that someone is connected and knows what's going on, so that we can help validate when those people come in and talk to each other and want to come in and film, that they know that this is a legitimate group that's come into town. And I just looked at the time, Scott.
I know.
Wow.
I know. Harbaugh.
Nobody's going to listen this long. So if you stuck with it this long,
congratulations.
Congratulations. Yeah. Call my office. We'll send you a free luggage tag or something like that.
Oh, I noticed that during the, hold on, you need to go. I need to go. I noticed that during the filming of Killers of the Flower Moon, there must not have been a need for maybe tall, dark, and handsome person, because I never got a call from you or anybody about filling in.
I think that they really worked hard with the Osage Nation to be sure that the Indigenous people that they cast were in fact Indigenous,
and looked it.
And gave priority to the people of the Osage Nation that wanted to be involved. And
sure.
That was critically important. So
I looked at some of the photographs. Of the photos of the people that they chose. And I was like, there's no way I could look like that. I mean, they were all scraggly and hardened and, you know,
craggy. You got those dimples. The dimples make
That's not what they were going for, I'm sure. Well, Mary,
thanks
for everything. Thanks for your... You're a good interview, because it's just like winding you up and letting you go. You know, I just
you just have to sit back. Yes.
Turn the camera on, turn the camera off. So no, it was great. A lot of good information in there. And if someone wants to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
You can contact me at visitbartlesville.com. Go to the website and you can find my contact information there. But my email is msgus at bartlesville.com. And I'd love to help anybody. I'm always happy to help someone. I've been helped a lot in this industry, in the tourism industry, in the film industry. And so it's really important to me that you always return that favor and pay it forward too.
Send the elevator back down, as they say.
That's right, always.
So, all right. Well, for Maria Gus, this is Scott Townsend. Thanks for watching and listening to the Scott Townsend Show. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.
The Scott Townsend Show is a Dietzo Man production. For more episodes, visit the Scott Townsend Show YouTube channel, listen on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.